You don't need, ladies, you don't need your husband to come crawling on his hands and knees on broken glass and saying, please forgive me, for you to say you're forgiven. You don't need your brothers and sisters to write you a long letter saying, these are the things I've done wrong to you growing up, or this is what happened to you, please forgive me, for you to say, okay. It's a solo decision. You can make that decision right now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever's happened to you growing up, you know you can never share with anybody, and that's perfectly fine. You can make that decision to forgive.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Debt Part 2 by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship to the way we serve to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Today's message is the part two of our message titled Debt. We're in our series on the parables of Christ, and this one is about God's forgiveness of our sin debt through Jesus Christ and our forgiveness of the sin debt of others towards us. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 23. We read this parable last time. You should know it, but let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, if you were here last weekend, 10,000 talents is equal to 60 million denarii. That's a lot of money. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. 60 million and 100. There's a world of difference. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Now here's the crux of the matter. So my heavenly Father also will do to you. If each of you from his heart, and you can say from her heart, does not forgive his brother or his sister his trespasses. The question this morning for us is there unforgiveness in your heart? I want you to remember, to struggle is okay. To refuse is not. There's a world of difference. You can struggle with saying, I forgive you, and I still struggle with it, but I'm forgiving you. It's quite different to say, I will never forgive you, which means you're lost. And this morning, have you received God's forgiveness? You know, unless you have God's forgiveness in your heart for whatever, but if you have God's forgiveness in your heart through Jesus Christ, you can forgive whatever you're going through, whatever someone has done to you, you can, because the Holy Spirit will help you. So if you're not saved today, ask Jesus to come into your life. Receive his forgiveness so you are now able to forgive. Last weekend, we answered the first question on this parable, which was, why is sin described as a debt? Now, if you remember, all this is connected to the land. When Jesus spoke those words, he was talking to the first century Jewish people, and they understood it in the context of the land. The people of God, the people of Israel, disobeyed God, and God raised up a Babylonian king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And he came against Judah, and he drove the people out, and he took them into exile. They lost the land, not to Nebuchadnezzar, but back to God. It was his land. But then what happens? God, in his grace, in his compassion, he told them, 50 years later, you can come back. It's not because the people were repentant. It was not because the mind had changed. It was because God was gracious. God was compassionate. He allowed them to get back into the land. But it was on God's land. They were heavily indebted to God. But God already knew, as the gracious landlord, he knew that those people could never pay back that debt. And so even before time began, before the foundation of the world, God had initiated a plan to pay for their sins. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay their sin debt. And Jesus came and he died on the cross, and all they had to do was to look to him and live. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. You know what Jesus did? He took your past due, your past due, your past due notice of sin, and when he was on the cross being nailed, it was as if those notices were being nailed to the cross. So that was the first question. But the second question we want to answer from this parable is, what is the connection of our sin debt to God and others' sin debt to us? Again, we got to come back to the land. All of the Jewish people, the rich, the poor, the creditors and the debtors, they were all living on God's land. So when Jesus came and said, hey, listen, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, what he was saying is, why are you going to your brother, to your sister, and taking them by the throat and saying, pay up when the land is mine? But Jesus was talking about something more. He was talking about unforgiveness among the people. Folks, all of us are standing on the ground of God's grace. Do you believe that? All of us. All of us are standing on God's grace. What right do we have to say, I will never forgive you for what you've done to me? But then Jesus made a statement that was very shocking. Listen again to verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now all this time it was great. Yeah, I need to forgive. Yeah, it's good to forgive. Get it off your chest. You don't want to be a prisoner to someone's hurt and offense. But now Jesus raised the ante when he said, if you don't forgive, neither will God forgive you. Folks, what does that mean? He said, well, let me pull out my systematic theology because I believe in eternal security. So do I. Well, I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe the one saved always saved. So do I. But what does the passage say? It says exactly what it says, which is this: if you refuse to forgive others for what they've done to you, God the Father will not forgive you. Which means what? If God doesn't forgive you, where are you going? You're going to hell. Don't try to mitigate this. Don't try to dilute what the Word of God has said. If you refuse to forgive, God will not forgive you either. Well, wait a minute. Let me find another passage. Wait. Let's deal with that passage first. To answer that question, we have to first understand how God forgives us our debt. We need to see how God forgives us and what is that forgiveness and what is not. First thing we need to understand is forgiveness is a solo decision. It is not a joint agreement. Who did God consult regarding the plan of salvation? Did God come to Adam and Eve and say, Adam, you know, we got us a problem, buddy. You know, you and Eve ate that fruit. I mean, you know, we're thinking about this, Adam, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and us, we're thinking about maybe Jesus can come and die. And what do you think about that? I mean, we can forgive that way if you take that. Is that what happened? In the secret and the sacred chambers of the Trinity, the plan of salvation was already in the works. Even before the foundation of the world, God had already decided what's going to happen. Isn't that amazing? He did not consult with a single human being. You have no part to play in the plan of salvation except receive it. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing this, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct. That's what we were doing. Aimlessly living in this life, received by tradition from your fathers, talking about the Jewish people, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Now listen to this, verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Hey, listen, even before time began, Jesus had already given his life. It just had to be carried out. Listen, folks, when it comes to God's plan of forgiveness, it was a solo decision. God did not need our cooperation to initiate the plan of redemption. And listen, you don't need your offender's cooperation to cancel their debt. It's a solo decision. You can make that decision right now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever's happened to you growing up, you know you can never share with anybody, and that's perfectly fine. You can make the decision to forgive someone's debt. But something else. Forgiveness is not forgetting. I've had people talk to me sometimes and they'll say something like, Pastor, I know what you're going to say, but it's hard for me to forget. I can forgive, but I cannot forget. You know what I tell them? That's fine. Who says you have to forget? Well, I mean, that's how God forgives us, doesn't He? Doesn't He bury our sins in the sea of forgetfulness? By the way, that phrase is not found in the Bible. That comes out of a song. It's based on several verses in the Bible, Micah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. It's a metaphor, figure of speech. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And Jeremiah 31, 34, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. So people say, hey, there you go. God does not remember. I mean, if you come to, I've heard some great messages on that. Folks, let me ask you a question. Do you think God has amnesia? Like you come to God and say, do I remember what I did? It's like, what were you talking about? I don't know. Can't get it, can't process. No. He remembers everything. He remembers where every blade of grass was since the beginning of time and where it'll be. You know what it means when it says God doesn't remember? It means that He doesn't bring it up and throw it in your face. What's the point I'm making? If we are to forgive like God has forgiven us, it does not mean that we have to forget. Furthermore, God's forgiveness does not mean condoning. We think sometimes, you know, if I'm going to forgive, you know, I have to forgive the way God, so I have to condone. Well, He did it because of the way He grew up. What? Don't condone sin. Don't be dismissive. That's all right, doesn't bother me anymore. That's dismissive. No legally pardoning sin. Folks, listen, a lost person, a murderer can walk through that door, sit down, hear the gospel, get saved. Where is he going? He's going to heaven, amen? But the police may still come and take him in custody. The consequences still stand. Something else, forgiveness, listen carefully, is not reconciliation. Go back again to what God did for us through Jesus Christ. From God's perspective, when Jesus died on the cross, the ransom was paid, forgiveness was offered. He is not up there sitting and holding a grudge and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do with these horrible, sinful, depraved humans. No, on the cross, forgiveness was given. It's offered. But you have to take his hand. You have to receive it for reconciliation to take place. You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It's an ongoing act. Forgiveness is offered. When you take it, that's when you are reconciled with God. How do you take it? A few moments ago when you prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior, that's when reconciliation was happening. You are reconciled back to God. But folks, what happened? What happens when you truly pray to receive Christ? What are you saying? You're saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and take over. I submit to you. I humble myself before you. It's no longer my will, but your will be done. Folks, that's when reconciliation happens. Reconciliation is not just, hey, God's forgiven my sins, so I can go out there and sin some more. Is that what you think? No. Reconciliation is a complex process. That's conversion. That's what happens when you are saved. So also, reconciliation can only happen if the offender is willing to go through the appropriate process. If not, there can only be forgiveness, but no reconciliation. Listen carefully to me. True reconciliation is a complex process. I did some study online and through a Journal of Psychology and Theology. Did you know they found as many as 16 models of forgiveness? I mean, it's so complex. Of reconciliation. So much. We don't understand exactly how everything works out. But true reconciliation is a complex process that requires dialogue. You talk to the person. It requires time. It is based on the offense. If it's a minor offense in a marriage relationship where you forgot to put a mint on his pillow or something like that, I mean, you don't need a big complex dialogue. Right? Does anybody still do that? Why? It doesn't require all that. But listen, if it's deep hurt that has been caused, you can say, hey, you told me you forgave me. Can we go back to being like we were? Dialogue, time, admittance of guilt. Many times the person who has offended has never truly said, I really hurt you and I'm so sorry for what I've done. It hasn't happened. How in the world can you have reconciliation? Forgiveness, yeah. I don't hold that against you anymore. Reconciliation, we're back to normal. In fact, we're better than ever. How can you do that? It's impossible. Not only that, but there has to be rebuilding of trust. If that person has abused you, how in the world can you bring that person back into your life and say it's back to normal? Guess what's going to happen, folks? If true repentance has not happened, they're going to abuse again. And sometimes churches and Christians who are well-meaning but stupid say, go ahead and get back together, and it's okay. Where do we get that from? That's not biblical. That's not reconciliation. True reconciliation is a process. It's a complex process that requires dialogue and time and admittance of guilt and rebuilding of trust. It's a very different thing. Now I'm going to vent for a moment. Can I do that? Well, you don't have a choice. You're going to have to hear me anyways. As a pastor, you know, when you have issues that you never really resolved, you never took care of your problems, your unforgiveness, and what somebody did to you and whatever, well, you can always take it out on the pastor. He's blessed Jesus, meek and mild, right? And I've had people like that. They come and they bam, and I'm going, what just happened? Why did you slap me? No, not physically. That won't happen. I grew up watching Bonanza. We're going to have a shootout. That's not going to happen. Trust me on that. But hatefulness, mean, angry note, email, unsigned letter, and I'm going, why? You know what's happening? because they never resolve that issue. We find someone who looks helpless, and we take it out on that person. And many of y'all have done that. And there's no place for it, folks. You never can reconcile that way. By taking, and what we say is, I told you I'm sorry. People have told me that. Please forgive me. And then they write me a long email. But what you did to me really hurt me. But please forgive me for all the hurt I caused you. I'm saying, you want me to forgive you, but you give me a long list of all the things that I've done wrong? Trust me, I've already forgiven you. You want reconciliation. You want us to go and pick out curtains together or something. We're not going. Why did I give that illustration? To help you understand, if you let certain people back into your life under the guise of forgiveness, what they're asking for is reconciliation without proper admittance of guilt, and there is no trust. You are setting yourself up for more hurt. Are y'all with me? Forgiveness is saying, I will no longer seek your ill will. I'm not here to hurt you back. There is no anger and bitterness in my heart, but to bring you back in and say it's all love and kindness. When that person has not truly changed, especially women have to go through that. There's no place for it. They will often bring up 1 John 4:20. I've received many 1 John 4:20s. They go like this. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has seen? So, Pastor, you got to forgive me. Because if you don't, then God is not in your heart. I'm going to say, hey, wait a minute. Hate is not the same as irreconciliation. I don't hate you, but you're not ready to reconcile. Why did I give you my personal example? Because many times there will be people in your life, family members, friends, even church family, who will try to reconcile just to hurt you more. Don't fall for that. Because then people walk away saying, I did it God's way and it did not work. No, you didn't do it God's way. You heard some foolish person trying to counsel you and gave you wrong advice. You can forgive. But reconciliation is a complex process that requires so much more. I mean, you can be lost and reconcile. You can begin by emotional forgiveness and you can empathize with the person and maybe head towards reconciliation. But with God's help, it can happen, and I believe it should happen. Reconciliation is possible and it should happen, but it requires both people. Let me talk about marriage. In a marriage setting, the husband and wife, if things have happened, forgiveness should be immediate. Reconciliation can take time. And not always forgiveness is immediate, because that brings us to the last point. Forgiveness is a journey. Forgiveness is a journey. Some things we can forgive immediately, but many things it takes time. Now, when we talk about God forgiving us for Him, it's not a journey. Through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness is given immediately. How long does it take for us to get saved? The moment you pray, you're saved. God does not say, well, I need you to take a class. I need you to walk through these steps, and then I will save you. No, it's immediate, but we're not God. For us, it still sometimes requires a process. Two things have to happen. The first is found in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Which says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There has to be a change in perspective. Now, forgetting to put mint on someone's pillow does not require a big change in perspective. Amen? But folks, when there is lack of trust, trust has been broken, crazy things have happened, it takes time to retrain and see things from God's perspective. To look at the hurt that you went through. Maybe it was divorce. Maybe it was abuse. Maybe it was somebody stabbed you in the back. All these things have happened. It takes time to say, God, would you help me see things as you see it? Because this is awful what happened. But you're doing something much bigger in my life. What does the Bible say? God will work all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God, help me to see that because I'm not seeing it right now. It takes time. Forgiveness is a journey. But that journey, listen, is not taken alone. God has given someone to the believer. Who is that someone? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to not only forgive, but if there is a potential for reconciliation, to help you reconcile. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Been through a tough time? You can see things in a different way. You can glory in your tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Is because of the mess that you went through, it has made you who you are. But only the Holy Spirit can help you do that. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Who can help you with this? The Holy Spirit. Folks, He can do something that no preacher, no counselor, no psychiatrist or psychologist can ever do. He can work in you from the inside out. Amen? He can strengthen you. He can allow you to be ready for reconciliation if the other person is. What is forgiveness? It is a solo decision. You can forgive right now. Something's happened to you. You can mock that person. You can talk trash about them. You can even trivialize the problem, or you can make a decision right now and say, God, if you help me, I will forgive them right now. Forgiveness is not forgetting. The scars are there to remind us, to warn us in the future. That's okay. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Two very different things. Forgiveness, you better. Reconciliation, a complex process that requires the other person to also follow the same path. That may or may not happen. And forgiveness is a journey. Some of you have been sitting back in guilt and shame and grudge and resentment, refusing to forgive. And if that's you, folks, listen again. Struggling to forgive is understandable. Refusing to forgive, please listen carefully, you could be lost. Refusing to forgive, you could be lost. It's because the Holy Spirit will always lead you towards forgiveness and maybe reconciliation. Are you unforgiving towards somebody today? Somebody did something, and you're not willing to forgive them today? Lay that on the altar. And have you been forgiven by God?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Just as God forgave us, we need to show forgiveness to other people. We've got to understand the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Reconciliation with a person might not always be possible, but forgiveness is always available. Extend forgiveness in your life today, just as God in Christ forgave you. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.